catchy. It almost felt like children's nursery rhymes.
There's a pain to it and also an urgency.
I'm Generation X author Douglas Copeland, and I'll be hearing from the likes of Brick Smith and Butch Vig about how the album impacted that generation and beyond.
It was like Beatlemania.
Kurt Cobain is on my side. He's rooting for me.
Following a day of celebration on 6 Music.
You've got to hear this.
Teen Spirit, never mind at 30. This Friday night at 9 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now, as we're on the teen topic, Rufus Hound and his guest Tim Downey get nostalgic for the 90s in this week's My Teenage Diary.
My name's Rufus Hound, and welcome to My Teenage Diary, the show where we invite grown men and women to unlock their angst-ridden teenage diaries and read them out in public for the very first time. Can they recognise themselves when they look back? Have they remained true to their youthful ideals? Will they leave here wishing they'd ignored my producer's emails? My guest tonight is an actor, familiar to those who've enjoyed Toast of London, Outlander, Upstart, Crow, The King's Speech and Paddington, amongst so much more. That's what he's like now. But we're about to find out what he was like way back then. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tim Downey! Well, hello, Tim. Please tell us which diary you'll be reading from today.
So this is my diary from 1994. I bought this in Smith's on Hitchin High Street. I remember it quite vividly. It's a beautiful red faux leather, but I love it because it's also got all those things that you don't do now, which is write people's names and addresses and all the phone numbers, which is just great to look back on. So if you ever want to know, I don't know, Richard's Brixton number, it's here. So that's, that's a good thing.
So it's 1994. What are you up to in 1994?
In 1994, I'm 16, and I'm about to start drama school. I went to Mountview Drama School, which was then in Wood Green in North London.
Yeah. So were you 18, or had you done your A-levels early? What was the...
I was 16, and my mother had decided to, basically lie for me and help me get through, and just went, if you want to do it, go and do it. And I was still living at home. I was living in a little village called Shillington, which is in Hertfordshire, and I would get a bus every morning, get a train, get a tube, and then a walk every day, there and back. And this is when I wrote the diary.
Ah, so this would be often on the train, would it? You would be scribbling away.
Yep.
So, I mean, it seems sort of unbelievable to me, now that I've worked with as many actors that I have, that a 16-year-old would be put into that system.
Yeah. As you will see, there were things that I saw that I can't unsee, and there are reasons why you have to be older to experience things like drama school. And obviously, this is the 90s drama school. This isn't the drama school now. This is when they were sort of
like... This is when it bloody was drama
this
school.
This is proper drama school. This is drama school where it's like, right, we are going to break you down, and then we are going to rebuild you. And like, all right,
that sounds great. Okay. Fine, let's do that. So, it's 1994. German supermarket chain Lidl opens its first 10 stores in the UK. Eva Herzegova stops traffic with her Hello Boys billboards, and Wet 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 spend 15 weeks at the top of the charts with Love Is All Around. So, a year of Wunderbar, Wonderbras, and Venda Bloody Hella, they're going to stop playing that song on the radio. But what is Tim Downey doing?
Tuesday, 11th of January, 1994. First day at Mountview, my home for the next 3 years. Dad has given me a pager he got from someone in the village just in case something happens in London, and apparently anything can happen in London. Hard to know where to start, but my first lesson was movement, which involves shedding all inhibitions and embarrassments. We started with a primal scream and then rolled over each other on the floor. Next was lunch, some sort of jacket potato. Then singing to see who would get a scholarship. I sang Master of the House. I will not be getting a scholarship. Our last class was about why you want to act. I said, because I love stories and I love telling stories. The teacher said, but what would you do if you couldn't act? I said, write. He said, get real. I'm writing now in black ink. It seems much more adult than blue. Wednesday the 12th. I said goodbye to Katie tonight. We decided to split up as now I'm at drama school, I won't be around much anymore. She told me she always thinks of me in her English class, and I told her I think about her a lot too. I suggest that maybe we could still go on holiday in the summer like we talked about. Maybe Jersey, perhaps. She said yes. Life was easy 2 days ago. Now it all seems very hard.
So, Tim, you're 16 and armed with nothing but a pager and a dream. Did you think maybe you were too young to be at drama school? After all, you'd only just graduated from blue to black ink.
Yeah. I think at the time, I thought I was the most adult I could possibly be. No one could tell me anything. I was ready for this. And then after that first day, you think, I'm not ready for this. I don't think I'm ready for this at all. I think this is going to be quite an eye-opener. And I was right.
I mean, you know, your mum couldn't have been more supportive. She's carried out some level of skullduggery to get you in there. I think a lot of parents would have liked their kids carry on at school and do A-levels and the like. She'd actually, the year prior to that, put you in front of Ken Branagh, is that right?
That is true, yes. We had work experience. The options were working in a plumber's or working in a museum, local museum, Letchworth Garden City Museum. Mm. Had an exhibit of World War I trench warfare, and they wanted me to come and dig the trench. I was like, right. I don't really want to. How is that? Because I want to be an actor. How is digging a trench gonna help? Yes, that'd be fine. So my mother said, no, let's not do that. Oh, I hear Kenneth Branagh is at the Barbican. I went, well, I think so. I think he was doing Hamlet. So my mother wrote to Kenneth Branagh, said, you know, like, dear Ken, my son wants to be an actor. Can he come and watch some stuff? And I still have the letter from Kenneth Branagh, having written back, saying, yes, absolutely, please come. We're at the Barbican, please come down, signed Kenneth Branagh. And the school said no. Oh. The school said no. It's that London, isn't it? Don't go London.
Yeah.
And yeah, so in the end, I did spend my 2 weeks work experience digging a trench. Oh. Thank you. Thank you.
So your mum, who had her own ambitions thwarted, has got, you know, like Ken Branagh's like, yeah, come and play.
Yeah.
School says no. So do you think maybe that was somewhat behind her idea of like, oh, I'm going to get you out of that school and I'm going to set you down the course of being an actor. Like, no one else is going to do it for you. I need to be the wind beneath your wings.
I think so. I think that was just like a red rag to a bull. And anything that way, if you say to my mother you can't do it, she will find every way to do it.
Yeah.
And to prove you wrong. It's almost out of spite. You know, slight edge of revenge.
A very spiteful woman.
Very spiteful, full of revenge. Loving, but don't cross her. Yeah. But it's exactly what you need, you know, especially when you're that age and you want to do something as precarious as acting. You need someone that's going to be your champion. Mm. Based on nothing more than, like, two school plays. Yes, I saw your rat in that, Pied Piper. Yeah. You were excellent.
Well, we'll join you next, then, if we can, in February 1994, Tim Downey, and you're off on an outing with your dad.
Saturday, 5th of February. Dad took me to see a tarot card reader, or mystic, in Leicester, called Tina. Apparently, she's very good. She does most of the cast of Heartbeat, and two of Take That. She said it will be a good year for the family, with some money coming in around May or July, which will help us out a lot. Then my dad asked about me. She said, it's a hard profession, but you will do well. You'll be okay. All your uncles on your dad's side are looking after you. So is your grandfather on your mum's side. I don't know if that's a good thing. All my uncles were builders and my grandfather was a hairdresser.
It's quite unusual for a dad to take his son to see a tarot reader. Was he into things like that or was Laser Quest busy?
He was and still is a very pragmatic man about things. But for some reason, there was this little element of him that was like, no, we'll go and see a tarot reader about that. Really? We're going to go and see a tarot reader about that. And so he'd heard from friend of a friend of a friend, there was an actor in Heartbeat who saw this particular tarot reader, this mystic. So we went, all right, well, if it's good enough for Heartbeat, it's good enough for us. So, yeah, and then off we went to this very sort of middle-class cul-de-sac in Leicester.
So, what's next from your teenage diary?
Tuesday, 8th of February. I think my favourite lesson is project. Today, we had to devise a piece. Our little group sat around and threw in all sorts of ideas. War, money, religion. In the end, we landed on make-believe. So for the last half an hour, we did an improvisation based on The Wizard of Oz and global corporate power. I was the Tin Man who was in charge of British Steel. The Scarecrow was a tenant farmer whose land I was plundering. It ended in bloodshed. Katie called and she said she'll write to me. I hope she will. I think letters are as important as poetry.
Aww. Thank you.
Friday the 11th. In movement class, we had to evolve from jelly creatures to reptiles and then finally into cats. We did this for an hour and a half. Cabaret night. I've never been to a cabaret, but I'm told there'll be lots of drink and girls, which sounds great. Saturday the 12th. I don't really remember much of cabaret night. I ended up somewhere near Potter's Bar with a girl called Gabby. Thursday, 17th of February. This evening, I tried reading Chekhov by candlelight. I put the candle in an old red wine bottle. I think that looks really cool.
I mean, your drama school couldn't be any more drama school if it tried,
no,
could it?
It really couldn't.
You've got improvised political theatre, pretending to be jellyfish, and reading Chekhov by candlelight.
Yeah.
You've now been at drama school for a month. Did you feel you were getting the real juice?
I think I was really settling in. I was finding my groove.
Well, let's hear some more diary. It's now March 1994, and you are learning to drive.
Saturday, 5th of March. What a bizarre day. Dad nearly choked to death on a pickled onion. I performed the Heimlich manoeuvre and basically saved his life. I'm basically a hero, but you would not have thought that if you could see me drive. I had my first driving lesson today. Well, not a lesson as such, as I just drove around the British Rail car park twice. Stalled about 17 times. My dad just moaned and moaned, obviously forgetting all about the onion from earlier. Monday the 7th. In our movement lesson, we created an abstract piece about plague. I've also decided I might take up bare hand rock climbing. My father has been offered a job at last after 2 years unemployment in Potter's Bar with Abbey Holmes, which will pay $5,000 a year more than his old one at Barrett. Mum's birthday in a few days. I bought her a Clannad tape. Saturday, 19th of March. Drove myself and Mum into Hitchin and at Burton's bought a linen shirt, blue, jeans and waistcoat, rust. I think I shall wear these to death. My pen ran out, so now I have to write in blue, which I'm not thrilled with at all. I also read a book about Matisse and watched Schindler's List.
Right, let's break this down then. You spent the morning saving your dad's life with a Heimlich and then the afternoon endangering his life in the British Rail car park.
Yeah.
Feels like the sort of thing Mystic Tina could have given the old lad a heads up about.
She should have seen this coming, surely.
She should have done. Avoid pickled onions. I mean, your dad's managed to avoid the icy clutches of death twice and then gets a new job in Potter's Bar. So a big deal for him to find work again. I mean, you say 2 years unemployed. It must have been
huge. That was a real wonderful time suddenly for the family, kind of like, oh, okay, great, we got all kind of breathe a collective sigh of relief, because, you know, it was tough and it was difficult. I mean, the only way I got to drama school was I had a grant, and if it wasn't for that, there was just zero chance. With all the greatest will in the world and all the stage newspapers that my mother could have purchased, would not have seen me at drama school. So it was, you know, I was living on, I think, less than £3 a day for a year. So I was basically, as you heard, I was basically eating jacket potatoes.
Yeah.
That was it. Very carb heavy, but I was burning it off.
Yeah, that's it.
Through many art pieces. So
those jellyfish to cats don't power themselves.
No, they do not. No, they do not.
And then we ended all, of course, with the continuation of your transition from village boy into artiste. Mm. Because you're reading books about Matisse and watching Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah.
Is it fair to say that you didn't necessarily feel like you were the same as other teenagers from Potter's Bar by this point?
I think so. I think that's probably pretty good. I just so desperately wanted to kind of, at this point, be kind of dark and brooding. Mm-hmm. I'd also started reading a lot of beatniks. So I was thinking to myself, yeah, I am a beatnik. You know, I'm Kerouac. I'm, you know, Burroughs. I'm that. Yeah, I'm that. So, you know, I wanted to kind of immerse myself in that. So I thought, well, what, you know, what did Burroughs wear? Burroughs was always kind of very snappily dressed, suits and waistcoats. So I'll buy a waistcoat because William Burroughs wore a suit. You know, I was also into, there's a poet as well called Gary Snyder who was a Zen poet. I was like, yes, I'm all into nature and Zen. That's exactly what I'm in. What I came up against was that, you know, Burton's Zen poet beatnik department was very, very sadly lacking that year. So you do
especially
have to kind
the
of
Potter's the, Bar branch. I remember they, very specifically there was a real
they
shortage.
They struggled that year. They did struggle.
Well, what's next for the stylishly clad man about town, Tim Downey?
Wednesday, 23rd of March, 1994. Went with Seth to a cafe today by Wood Green Tube. Whilst ordering, I was addressed as Lady. Because of my long hair. I'd like to say it was the first time this happened, but it's not. I was having some photos developed at the Kodak shop around Christmas, and the guy there said, when I pointed out the photo I wanted enlarged, oh, this one with the girl in front. Maybe it's the collarless shirts. Saturday, 2nd of April. A day out in Camden with Dave. I purchased a pair of Indian trousers, a linen shirt, yes, another. And I also turned vegetarian, which was a difficult decision, as when I got back home, Dad had bought us all a chicken dinner from the fish shop. Mum said maybe I could just eat the skin instead. Nan looked at me very strangely throughout the whole meal. Wednesday, 18th of May. Today, I got my first agent. Hooray! I went to the offices near Soho and had my first ever meeting. And it's all thanks to an actor called Richard Garnett, who played Gussie Finknottle in Jeeves and Wooster, and whom my mum met randomly and, of course, recognised as I recorded all of them. She said, my son wants to be an actor. He said, I'll talk to my agent. And he did, and here I am. I have to provide some headshots, my pager number, and an updated CV.
So not satisfied with simply getting you into drama school, your mum has now gone and got you your first agent.
Yeah.
What else did she organise for you? 16th birthday? First date?
All of that. All of the above. Absolutely everything. There is nothing that woman can't do, let me tell you.
I love how you come out as a vegetarian and then your mum says, just eat the chicken skin.
Yeah.
That somehow seems even less vegetarian.
It does, doesn't it?
Somehow. Like, if there were two cannibals and one only ate human skin, I think he'd be the one that the other one thought was disgusting. Do you know what I mean? I mean, yet again, it's Mother Downey making all this happen. She's an absolute wonder, isn't she? In fact, I hate to break it to you, Tim, but you weren't even booked onto this show in the conventional way. I got a phone call out of the blue.
Hi, it's Mrs. Downey here, mother slash manager of Tim Downey. You know Tim, the incredibly talented actor? Indian trousers, looks like a lady, always writes in black. Anyway, I really enjoy your Teenage Diaries show, but I'm not sure why you haven't had my Tim Tim on it yet. My Tim has a lovely diary, plus lots of wonderful skills he'd be happy to show you. Now, I don't want to spoil anything, but if you have a spare 90 minutes and a love of cats and jellyfish, you are in for a treat. Oh, Besco, my tarot reader just told me they might be bringing back Heartbeat, so I'm off to make them cast him in the lead. Now, if you need me, just contact us on our family pager. Bye!
So we find ourselves now at the end of May 1994, and the weather's getting warmer.
My final crit of the term. Very nerve-wracking, as apparently they take everything into consideration. Everything. The plays, the art pieces, the devised and movement work, which I was not aware of. Well done, says Jeff. You've somehow had a good year. Your Lysander was dreadful, but you know that, as does everyone else. You have talent, but you lack focus at times and always want to go for the funny, which is fine if you want to work in comedy, but who wants to do that? You have good physicality, but maybe could do with getting a gym membership and a haircut. Elated. Got very drunk. Went to the Ritz Cinema in Turnpike Lane and watched Fortress with Christopher Lambert. No idea why. Dreadful.
I mean, you've ended up working largely as a comic actor. Do you think that your drama school teachers were disappointed?
Oh, I think they're still disappointed. Oh, I think so, yeah.
Why do you think they look down on comedy? And I'll expand that question out to be, why do you think that the industry largely looks down on comedy?
I have no idea, because it is such a wonderful thing to be able to do, is to make someone laugh. Mm. And it's a skill. It's so tricky to kind of pin down what makes you laugh. It's so difficult and so movable.
But I think it's the fact that comedy has an intended response is what makes comedy so hard. So if I do tell you those jokes and you don't laugh, we all agree this was bad.
Yeah.
But if I do some big monologue and there's just silence in the room, then everybody thinks, well, that must have been very good, you know? Yeah. But it can just be a room full of people going, oh, it was all right. And so it does strike me that comedy is harder than drama.
Absolutely.
But because it's meant to bring about levity, people who do take themselves very seriously don't want to give it credibility because it sort of undermines who they are.
Yeah.
Because I really understand something. Comedy requires intelligence. You actually have to really understand it to make a joke about it.
Yeah. It's kind of everything. It makes you laugh, but it makes you think as well. It makes you question.
And that's coming from a man who can be a jellyfish and a cat.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's have some more from your diary, Tim Downey.
I read in the paper today about druids and now think I might be a druid. I love nature. I love dressing up, so all this could be perfect. I'll not say anything to the family just yet, as my nan is still reeling from the vegetarian bomb I dropped earlier this year. I'm going to write to the Druid Council and ask to join. I'll be driving soon, so I can get to any stone circle pretty easily from now on. Watched all of Fawlty Towers again. Sunday, 14th of August. My driving test is coming up soon, and I have to say that I am a terrible driver. Awful. Even my mum is worried to get in the car with me. So today was a high point in that I crashed my dad's Mondeo. And now it has a dented side and a buckled door and bumper. What happened was this. I was driving very well. Even Dad thought so. Up the hill, into Hitchin, heading for Tesco's. I swung into the car park, full of confidence. Park wherever you like, my dad says. So I turn into a space, mistake the accelerator for the brake, and collide sweetly with two cars, one on the left and one in front. If that wasn't bad enough, the owner of the car in front lives in the village about five doors down, and her name's Denise. The car park in Hitchin Tesco's, if you ever go, is on a slight hill.
Yeah.
It's on a slight hill. So actually what happened was my car was going up the hill and the car was parked slightly above it. So when I hit it, it bounced and landed on the bonnet. Which was, really unpleasant. I must have really accelerated fast now thinking about it. I must have really put my foot down thinking it was the brake and then hit the car bounced on the bonnet. And I can still picture and I can still hear Denise, bless her, really emitted this kind of high-pitched whine. it was quite directional and very piercing.
Let's find out how you did on your driving test.
5th of October. I failed my driving test. I put up some wallpaper, read Foucault. I just don't understand anything today. 7th of October. Rules for the year ahead. Number one, never give up. Number two, stand back and let things come to you. Three, don't stand too far back because you may miss them. Four, be on time. Five, move to London. Six, true beauty is something that will always end. Seven, just never give up. The most incredible concert tonight at Ali Pali. Blur, supported by Pulp, Supergrass and Corduroy. I mean, just the best gig I have ever been to, and I think I might ever go to. It's been the soundtrack to everything this year, everything. Ups, downs and experimental art pieces about plague.
I mean, this is an amazing gig to have gone to, right? I mean, you're 17 at drama school in London at the height of Britpop.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, the 90s were a rare time of relative peace, prosperity and optimism. Pretty decent music. Mm. A far cry from the dystopian hellscape of 2021. Did you feel like it was maybe a lucky time to be alive?
I really miss the 90s. They're just the music. It felt like it was like the second 60s. And that gig was absolutely extraordinary. Blur live at Ali Pali. And you used to be able to get the recording of it on like a VHS. And then they re-released it on like a limited edition CD. But if you ever get to watch it, At the very end, the camera sweeps across the stage as Blur kind of pack up and throw their guitars or whatever into the crowd. And then you see this kind of silhouette just kind of pop up and kind of wave arms and then just dip down again. And that's me. And that's, thankfully, the only video of me from 1994. But, you know, it's gone. And there's a beauty to that as well. True beauty is something which will always end, you know.
So it's November now, Tim Downey, and your diary and 1994 indeed are drawing to a close.
15th of November. I have been cast as the lead in The Beau Stratagem. Not expecting that, quite a shock and terrifying as well. Daniel will be playing opposite me. Daniel is the most accident-prone actor I have ever met. He came into school in the second term with both hands bandaged after giving himself third-degree burns from making tea. On top of that, it all has to be learnt, blocked, and sewn together in 25 days. 14th of December. We did it. We bloody did it. With very few tears, we had our final crits and we're suddenly out and free in the open air. The weather has started to change. Winter is finally coming to North London. Frosty blues hang in the air and soft, silken glitter streaks the roads of Wood Green. I've learned a huge amount this year, and for that, 1994, I am so pleased. I also know that I'm not a druid, as I met one in Baldock and it's really put me off. And so, in the words of Ray Davies, this time tomorrow, where will we be? On a spaceship somewhere, sailing out across an empty sea.
This has been a real coming-of-age diary. You left your village, learned to drive, rejected druidry as a viable lifestyle, and are well on the way to realising your dream of becoming an actor. 1994 was the year it all changed, was it not?
It really was, and when I was asked about this and I found the diary again, I had completely forgotten what had happened in 1994. And then when I was reading it, it was so extraordinary to go, my God, a lot happened. Music and just being at drama school and that change, that shift from being like a boy into becoming a man. You're just on the brink. And it was really striking. I had to do it in like little blocks. I had to kind of look at it and go, oh my God, I have to put that down. I have to put that down and leave that.
Now that you've read your diaries, what would you say to the younger you?
I would say, just be as bold as you can, be kind, do stop reading so much existential French philosophy. That's probably a road to ruin. I'd leave that one. I'd leave that one well alone.
And what would your younger you say back?
My younger me would probably say, is that it? I had rather hoped you'd be taller.
We always ask our guests to choose a song which sums up their teenage years. What have you chosen and why?
So I have chosen This Time Tomorrow by The Kinks. So this was the song that was playing in the car when my dad first took me to the station. This was the last song before I went off on my first day.
Well, as we enjoy the music of The Kinks, ladies and gentlemen, please thank Tim Downey. My Teenage Diary is a talkback production for BBC Radio 4. It was presented by me, Rufus Hound, and starred guest Tim Downey. The producer was Harriet Jane.